Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight at our new starting time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you so much for joining us, although there is a variation in the starting time. I had to do it. Although tonight I'll have to ask you guys by survey. I have an opportunity to maybe do half of the week at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Would you like me to do half of the week at 7 p.m. Eastern time? Or do you prefer always the same time and you prefer 9 p.m. Eastern time all week? Because as it turns out, my obligations will not be for the whole week. It will just be specific days. So I still have a chance to do maybe three or four shows per week at 7 p.m. Eastern time. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Oh, we have a woman who is in a state of suffering in Ottawa following the honking.
Citizens of Ottawa and Centertown feel that they can't even leave their home safely.
Oh yes, you can't leave your home safely because there are people dancing to YMCA in front of the parliament.
I feel lucky enough that I can leave and go get coffee and go to the drugstore right now.
Well, look at this, they have bouncy castles for all the kids. Oh my goodness.
But a lot of people in our city don't feel that privilege, honestly. And they think that human rights are being taken away. I said, this isn't a human right. You have the right to choose. You have the right to not go to these places that require a mask.
Well, you have the right to choose to go to a places where there is no honking. You can leave town. You can go elsewhere. So we're not taking away your human rights. We are just giving you the choice. You have to leave the town if you don't like the honking, just like we have to leave our jobs and our places of living and our businesses if we don't like the masks or the vaccines.
Bunch of patriots playing hockey. So Canadian, eh?
Oh, they just don't understand like the impact that this is having on people here, I guess.
But do you understand the impact that the vaccine mandate is having on people who must earn a living to have their family fed, and you're fucking up their life just because you have some conception of what's the best decision, the best medical decision they could do?
You're visibly shaking. Your body is shaking. You are crying. Well, why is that?
Well, it's been a week of constant honking, constant hate in social media, walking just down the street.
We're just asking you to endure the honking for the common good. It's not much to ask to endure the honking. After all, you are asking that we endure your vaccine mandate and mask mandate. We're just asking you to do your share to protect the freedom of everyone, including grandma.
Street, it's hate. People are being harassed for wearing masks. it's upsetting. It's emotionally draining right now. I feel lucky enough that I can leave and go get coffee and go to the drugstore right now.
All right, so these people who live from the government in Ottawa, they don't like having this protest happening. So the protest is having the effect sought. Just that says, just like Trudeau asks everyone to mask, vax, lockdown for the common good. Argyrod says, I hate fat woman. Was she fat? I didn't notice. I didn't see this. So that means that the honking is working. Hopefully a little more honking and we should attain liberty. Immune imprinting. This was sent to me. We'll be covering some news before I talk about the Vox Day thing. I want to clarify for good this debate now that Vox Day has been banning me. I guess that I'll have to give my last words, and those will be my last words concerning Vox, since having banned me, we have no way to contact each other. He has blocked me on Gab. He was frustrated because of his inability to address my points and me demonstrating that he was wrong. So I'll be giving my last thoughts on this later tonight, but let's address a couple of news that people wanted me to talk about. Immune imprinting, breadth of variant recognition, and germinal center response in human SARS-CoV-2 infection and vaccination, a new study from the end of January. It's a study that is extremely vaccine enthusiast, as you may have guessed, because all studies are vaccine enthusiasts, basically. However, they show something very worrying. They show that mRNA vaccination stimulates robust GCs, germinal centers, containing vaccine mRNA and spike antigen up to 8 weeks post-vaccination in some cases. So that means the mRNA is in the spike antigen, not the antibody, but the antigen is still there 8 weeks after vaccination. And that's as long as the study has tested for. You know, remember when we were told, oh no, it will stay in this particular place of your body and it won't be there for long? Well, how long? Because now we have the first evidence that it survives up to 8 weeks. Does it survive up to months, up to years? It's worrying. It's worrying because if you have symptoms that appear from the vaccine 2 months later, 4 months later, typically they will not get identified as caused by the vaccine, but they could be caused by the vaccine if the mRNA is still there and the antigen is still there. Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to support the show. Support the show by sending super chats through Entropy. Or you can use the Odyssey option, the support button below the video. It's just as good. And Odyssey has enabled the credit card donations. Do you prefer 9 p.m. Eastern time every day or half and half for the week with 7 p.m. Eastern time? Because I have the option. Either we can be very stable, 7 days a week, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Or I could do 7 p.m. Eastern time for half the week. That is now an option. Stephen Robinson says, I prefer constant time, but I am favorable to 7 p.m. Eastern time. Well, that's not an option. So it's either half and half or everything moves to 9 p.m. Eastern time. There's no option in which I can do 7 days a week, 7 p.m. Eastern time, at least for a couple of months. Carnival sends a question on Entropy. He says, despite having COVID and an accent, your points, JF, were much easier to understand than Vox Days. Highfalutin language I could not follow. Well, thank you. Mama JF is coming here. What's up, Mama JF?
Hey, JF, what is an antigen, please?
What is an antigen? It is a molecule that the body is expected to combat. So the body is expected to respond to an antigen with an antibody. So it's the part of the virus that is expected that the body should combat and detect. And it's what the vaccine does. The vaccine introduces an antigen inside of you. It introduces a fake spike protein that is inspired from that of the virus so that your body can respond with antibodies. The antibodies attach to the antigen, and the antigen essentially is the target of the immune system.
So the antigen stay in your blood?
Well, it wasn't intended as such, but what they discover is that the antigen does stay in your blood up to 8 weeks post-vaccination and probably further, because the study didn't even test further. So it's like, as long as we've tested, the antigen is still there. That is worrying. Justed says, JF, what's the secret stuff you perform at 7 p.m. these days? I will not reveal. I do not talk about my individual and family life, but it's all beautiful stuff. Adele accused of transphobia over Brit Awards comments Adele has been accused of transphobia after her assertion at Tuesday night's Brit Awards that she loves being a woman. I understand why this has changed, she commented, because, oh yeah, the Brit Awards, I don't know what this is, some kind of music award of some kind, I guess. They have abolished the idea of a female singer and a male singer. So at this point, you can only have one award, and it's best singer, and it's across categories. So it's more gender neutral that way. And she was explaining in her speech, I understand why this has changed. In other words, dog whistling to the leftist, I get it. We have to act in a gender neutral way. But I really love being a woman and a female artist. I'm really proud of us. The comments, which were met by huge applause, led to some online to label her a trans-exclusionary radical feminist or TERF. Oh my god, these leftists are becoming sensitive on the social media. you become a radical trans-exclusionary feminist if you just like being a woman. That's something you can't do anymore. Good news on the side of the truckers in Ottawa. A judge has ordered to return the fuel. So people will remember that fuel had been repossessed from people trying to support the truckers. A Twitter threat had been made. They were saying, if you bring fuel to the trucker, we're going to arrest you. A judge has said, no. It's an absolute right for people to have provisions of fuel and heat and survival. You know, you can't have a starvation strategy against your own citizens. So the cans have been returned. However, it is said that much of the cans had been poisoned or mixed up with water so that the fuel is not efficient anymore. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if a couple of cans of fuels have been tinted, or whatever is the term. In the end, they won't be able to block the fuel anymore. And in any case, even before the judge order, there were like hundreds of citizens coming with fake fuel cans so as to camouflage the people who were passing with actual fuel can. There were hundreds of people just walking with empty fuel cans, and it has led to an accumulation of fuel cans on the protest site. It was quite beautiful to see. In any case, there it is, actually. The fuel cans. So no more subject to the government stopping them. Mama JF has come here. What is up, Mama JF?
Hey, I want to talk about something, okay?
Okay.
I wanted to say that because know about the Adele stuff.
The Adele, yeah.
Okay.
No more best female singer. She's just a best singer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, but look, okay, there's something I need to say, okay?
Okay.
Seriously, okay, because, oh my god, okay, because last summer, okay, I went to Montreal, okay.
Okay.
But anyway, I went into a woman refuge there.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I don't know, me, I like to go there, okay, and usually it's only women there, okay, and there, okay, there was so many transgender, okay, there was four transgender, okay.
So you went to a place that is supposed to welcome women who have no home?
Yes.
To kind of protect them from being homeless?
Yes.
And it was filled with guys who were transsexuals.
Yes.
And so they were accepted as women.
Yes.
Mm.
And you don't know what, okay? There was even two of those trans people, and they were laughing at me, and they were bullying me.
They were bullying you?
Yes, and they were laughing at me. Like this.
Like you were just a real female? It was cringe
no.
to be a woman?
No,
why were they laughing at you?
But they were just, I don't know, but not just me. Okay, another girl too, they were laughing at her. And like, they were like a little gang and they were bullying people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really weird that they make woman shelter, okay, to protect women from men. Okay, because usually women go there, like, if they get beaten or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is men there and they bully women.
Wow. So there's really no escaping.
Yes.
Just stay with your husbands because it's all men all the way down.
Oh,
there. Men beating you no matter where you go.
Yes. It's like, seriously, there's no more female space left.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
And were you treating them as women?
No, after I just stopped to talk to them. Like.
Okay, you stopped talking to them.
But it was like, oh my god, seriously.
But weren't you telling me that you were telling these people, I don't believe that you can change sex. I believe that... No?
No, that was...
I believe that you guys are still guys.
No, because that was... because there was one that was nice, okay? And one time I... No, it's just because I was drinking too much a little bit with the guy, like, mm-hmm. and with another, with their friends, like, and after I was telling him
that. Wow, these women shelter are absolutely wonderful places to go get bullied and drink too much. Isn't yes. that wonderful that
yeah,
the government offers this service?
Yes. yes, it's not good, like.
Not good. All right. Thanks for the dinner, Snow. Mama JF, Sentient Potato sends a super chat and he asks, he sends $5. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, JF, can I send a super chat longer than 300 characters? Absolutely, you can. I believe if you use Entropy, you'll be able to. Or if you want to use the Odyssey thing and give a link to a paste bin text and you can send me an arbitrarily long super chat. If you have a long question, always use a paste bin link and that way I'll be able to get your full question. What else do we have? CBC reporter suggests that trucker kids should be taken from them as they are in danger. Oh my god, these creepy leftist journalists. Any chance they get, they can't help it. It's like, when do we seize the kids? The kids, that's going to change their mind if we take their children. And look at how the trucker responds to him. I mean, let us remind ourselves. This is merely a bunch of people with vehicles being on the road. Some truckers are carrying their children and their family when they do trucking in the summer and their family is available and there's no school. Some truckers will spend days with their children. They will carry them around the country and they will travel like this. So it's not anyhow dangerous and it's not a particularly special situation to be on the road with children. And look at the journalist and the trucker will answer to him.
Did you hear the statement that
I yeah. said?
So saying, that's what I'm curious.
So you're like, saying that my teenagers are threatened for being in Ottawa. Is that what you're telling me? Answer my question.
You heard the statement.
We've all answered questions. You answer mine. Are my children in danger
for
the
Children's Aid Society?
Are my children in danger for being in Ottawa?
Well, it sounds, from what my understanding of the Children's Aid Society, they...
Are my children in danger for being in Ottawa right now? Tell me yes or no.
What do you mean by in danger?
You tell me, you're coming here trying to say that children are in danger.
The fact that the Children's Aid Society is getting involved,
you got the
like
inside scoop because you guys are the messenger for the devil. You tell me right now, are my kids in danger for being here? Should I send them on the first train out of town?
Well,
tell me now.
It sounds like the Children's Aid Society is saying that.
So you're saying
involved.
That my kids are going to get hurt?
I'm not saying anything. I don't.
The children
saying is that they put out.
See, it's a whole, the guy is like, yeah, but the Children's Society has said that maybe if the police comes and arrest you, your kids are in danger. It's a whole combination of violence here that is being done, where you have the police saying, oh yeah, maybe we're going to arrest you illegally. And then you have the Children's Society consulted by the government. Are these children in danger? Well, the Children's Society answers, you know, there might be situations in which if the police comes in to arrest their parents, they are in danger. What? It's like the government ordering a commentary on its own violence. And you have here the media going to the trucker and, aren't you worried? Aren't you worried that you may be the victim of violence and that your children could undergo certain negative consequences? It's a whole cycle and triangle of violence between the kidnappers of these children associations, the state kidnapping complex says, do you want lunch? That is exactly what it is. The government, these children associations, which are really, as it turns out in Ontario, they are legally allowed to decide to take kids away by the government, and then the media that comes to throw this in the face of truckers, essentially suggesting, hey, how about that could be a way to stop the protest? Let's kidnap children. That's what they're after, always. That came from this article. Police concerned for safety of kids living in trucks involved in Ottawa protest. If you are really concerned for their safety, why would you seize the fuel? Why would you need a judge to tell you, hey, it's wrong what you're doing because you're seizing fuel that's meant to be heating the places for truckers and their family? If you were really concerned, you would look into your own behavior and what you can change so that it's safer for these children. But I don't know that there is any particular danger applying to children who are part of the family of a trucker and who have all they need in these trucks as long as they can be heated and as long as they can be fed. But that, I guess, is up to what the police of Ottawa does. All right, let's get started on the Vox Day case. Vox Day today has blocked me on Gab. It all started more than a year ago when we had a debate, and I consider that I won the debate. The whole debate was around Vox Day first claiming that the distance between humans and chimpanzees is such that at the fixation rate of mutations, it would be impossible for humans to have distinguished from a common ancestor within 7 million years. And back then, I had, and we still have the debate right here. If you want the link, Vox Day versus JF, the evolution debate, I will be putting the link right here. So this is something that Vox Day doesn't mention, but the points I've made in these debates were totally debunking his idea, because I was showing that taking the fixation rate of... fixation rate, what is it? It's the idea of... So you have mutation rate, that's the idea of a single letter of your DNA being switched to something else by random. That's mutation rate. And then fixation rate would be the idea of how much time does it take, or how many generations does it take, for a given letter of DNA that is somehow advantageous to its bearer to spread across the population such that an entire species now has this letter of DNA. So how do you go from one to everyone in a species? And those are complex questions. That's why I've always pointed to the fact that fixation rates are not good measures to work with, because they can really be anything. Depends on the size of the population, depends on the natural selection pressure on the mutation, depends on the amount of time it takes for mutations to show up. It also depends on the process of speciation itself. Like if you have a particular group of animals that speciates relatively fast, or another group of animals that speciates relatively slow, you're going to have an effect on your fixation rate, because your definition of what is a species will vary. And I was pointing out that what Vox Day was doing and was wrong, he was taking the fixation rate from bacteria, and he was applying it to humans and saying, see, impossible. At this speed, it would take much more than 7 million years for humans to become humans. But what Vox Day had forgotten, well, didn't know actually, and he still doesn't know apparently, is that in a sexual species, the fixation rate has nothing to do with the fixation rate you record in bacteria. In a sexual species with the chromosomes, you can have a chromosome that carries a million mutations, and this chromosome can win over the entire population of humans within, I don't know, a few generations or a little more generations if there's not much evolutionary pressure on that chromosome. But see, as I explained on Gab, suppose you have a chromosome that has 200,000 new mutations. Suppose that this chromosome within 10,000 years ends up dominating the entire population. Suppose you have a small human population so that it's easy for the chromosome to eventually represent everyone, to be contained in everyone. That would be 200,000 mutations carried by a single chromosome over 10,000 years. So if you divide number of mutations per years, you would end up calculating a fixation rate of 20 mutations per year. That would be your average fixation rate. But it's not a good measure to work with, because the reality is you had a single event. A single chromosome has taken over a single entire human population. But because it happened over 10,000 years, and because the chromosome was carrying many, many mutations, you end up having a super high rate per year of mutations per year. Now, Vox Day totally obfuscates this, doesn't engage with this. Today, on Gab and on his blog, he blogged about me and about one of my followers, apparently. He says, biologists really don't get math. So yesterday on my show, I asked one thing to Vox Day. Please redo your calculations with sexual reproduction. Because in sexual reproduction, chromosomes are carrying hundreds of thousands, millions of mutations, and they combine together. So you can have two evolutionary stories. They make one baby, and poof, you get a baby that has millions and millions of mutations all at once that never met each other before. He writes on his blog, a follower of JFG tries to defend him. It doesn't go well. That was a comment on Gab that was saying he clarifies his position on JFG Tonight regarding the model used by Vox is based on bacterial cloning and doesn't address that a population with sexual reproduction where replacement values are above 2. So Vox says some ad hominem that have nothing to do. Vox is confused about some debate we had on IQ, and he's not even reporting it properly, so I'll skip over that. This is the sort of things that happen when people are incapable of understanding basic math without being walked carefully through all the relevant numbers involved. What JFG is claiming in his clarification is that because sexual reproduction can result in faster gene fixation than bacterial cloning, when measured in terms of generations, it is possible for the fixation rate to be high enough to account for genetic divergence between chimps and humans since the last common ancestor, as well as every other observed genetic divergence over time. That is absolutely false. False representation of what I've said yesterday. Yesterday, I didn't say that there was some key thing between generation time and time. That was not my point. My point is, sexual reproduction, as well as the existence of chromosomes that are packaging mutations together, makes you inspiring yourself from bacterial fixation rate invalid, because sexual reproduction can go millions of times faster in terms of fixation rate, simply because a single chromosome can carry many mutations and can combine this chromosome with another chromosome that also carries many mutations. Consider the event that is at the very root of the existence of humans. The addition of a chromosome 2 bout at the end of the human chromosome 2 there is another chromosome that came in and plugged itself, which is why the chimpanzees have one more chromosome than us. In reality, we have all of the chromosomes of the chimpanzee, but two of them have combined into one. Now, if you were to count each letter of DNA on there as a mutation, you would arrive to extreme fixation rate measures. So was this one event, or was this like a 100 million events? Well, that's where the deception arrives in calculating fixation rates. It doesn't make sense to work in fixation rates when you compare bacteria that have a small genome and the number of potential mutations are small, and on top of it, they won't be able to combine sexually. And you have these massive genomic events in humans, such as the full reconnection of a chromosome with millions of letters attached to it. Doesn't make sense. Sentient Potato has sent his super chat question through Pastebin. Okay, let's answer this, and then I'll keep reviewing the blog by Voxday. He says, JF, my question is about teleportation. Let's assume that a machine exists and is functional that can scan/disassemble all of the molecules and atoms in a person's body and send that information from terminal A to terminal B. Terminal B then has the materials and ability to reassemble everything exactly as it was scanned. Do you think such a machine could exist? I would say in principle, yes. Practically, probably not going to happen. But yeah, totally possible. And what you described, by the way, is the only kind of teleportation that can exist. Unless we're talking about these curvature of the space, Einstein bridge, and that kind of stuff. But whether these can exist is doubtful. But what you describe is a realistic principled approach to teleportation. Number two, is what comes out on terminal B the same as what went into terminal A, or did the person from terminal A die? Well, on that, that's not even a philosophical question. It's a question that exploits semantic conceptions of what is death, what is life, and what is me. But for instance, do you consider that you're the same person as you at T-1 second? Are you the same person as the guy that was existing in your place 1 second before? The guy that was sitting in the very chair that you're sitting right now. There was another guy then. This guy didn't have the same molecular constitution as you. This guy had a different brain state. He had different visual inputs. His brain activity was somewhere else than yours right now. So how is the guy that you think you were 1 second ago, how is that you? You could have a theory of your existence as follows. Every time frame of the universe, you die, and then you are resurrected into the future, one time frame forward into the future. The thing is, ultimately, the conception of what is you and what is your life is a subjective experience. It's a construct inside your head that you've decided to adhere to. Alternative constructs would have been occurring. That being said, on your question, if the teleportation process was perfect, if you were an exact copy, an exactly functional copy of yourself, then you could say that the process of teleportation is no different from the process through which you travel through slices of time as the universe goes into the future. Number three, does the composition and position of the constituent parts include the person's memory? The answer is, if you are capable of 3D printing at a given arbitrary level of resolution, you should be able to capture someone's memories and all of it, and all of his sense of identity and everything about him. Four, if the answer to two and three are no, well, my answer was yes, But he says, then would that imply there is something else intrinsic to humans that make us who we are? Thanks, JF. Care. Well, if the answer was no, then you could conclude that there is some kind of... If someone believes that the answer to these questions is no, then that person would be committed to some kind of dualism, some kind of conception that you are not just your physical self, that there is something out there that is part of who you are. He says, as a note, he says, disassembly at terminal A may not be necessary, but needs to be added for the purpose of determining whether or not this could be used as a form of transportation for any particular individual. Yeah, there's the big philosophical problem of do you kill the original clone? And yeah, the answer is, if I was to clone you, then the thing I would clone you toward wouldn't experience the world as a full individual with his identity. You would experience the world as fundamentally a world of competition where he has to fight against the past version of himself for identity and for the status of being himself. So definitely you do have to kill the... You have to get rid of the old clone. Carnival says on Entropy, press F for Luc Montagnier, who was going to protest recently and vocal about the mRNA vaccine's uncontrolled spread in the body. Luc Montagnier, oh, I didn't know. The Nobel Prize, French Nobel Prize laureate for his discovery related to HIV, I believe the isolation of the virus of HIV, if I remember correctly. He has died at age 89. So that is what's reported on Telegram. I cannot verify because this is live. But yeah, F for Luc Montagnier. He has decided to use his prestige as a Nobel Prize laureate to lead a fight against the vaccine. At times, he may have been exaggerating. At times not, at times he was right on target, but at all times he was leading a fight, I believe, against what he perceived to be an extremely worrying tendency of society with these vaccines, with the kind of craziness with which people have went in that route and not caring, and also the censorship against just the idea that the virus could have been a laboratory creation, which he's defended since the very beginning. Credit to this guy. I mean, he was one of the first going public on this. And at this point today, it's basically allowed in the mainstream, or and if not accepted by the mainstream, that it's a lab leak. But back in the days where he came out, there were very few people talking about it. I was there covering him and his statements the very day he did them, but he was one of the first to raise this. So credits to him and Hef. Do you want lunch? Did JF mention the vax tax was canceled in Quebec? Yes, I didn't mention it. It happened about 7 days ago, and I reported it. Sentient Potato sends $15. Thank you so much. And he sends this to thank me for my response to his teleportation question. Well, thank you so much for the support. Go away is on Entropy, and then we're going to move back to Vox Day. If a colony of, say, 100,000 people went to Mars and then isolated themselves, how long do you think it would take until they were so divergent from humans on Earth that they could no longer interbreed? It's a good question. Suppose that Mars isn't a special environment, and suppose therefore that the isolation that these people would go through and the new environment wouldn't be a massively different evolutionary pressure from what you encounter just on planet Earth. Like, when you think about the difference between Africa and, say, Siberia, those are massively different places to survive and live. So suppose that Mars is just as different from Siberia, that Siberia is different from Africa, and suppose that the natural selection pressure are kind of in those range. Then the question is, how much time did it take for humans, Homo sapiens, to be in a state where they couldn't reproduce with their ancestors? And we don't have the answer, because the only way you could answer this fully is to have a time machine. You would have to test, okay, if I take a human from today, would they be able to reproduce with a human from 200,000 years ago, 400,000 years ago, 1 million years ago? That being said, we can shoot generally and say, okay, there was this diversity of humans. 200,000 years ago, there were Neanderthals. The Neanderthals did interbreed with the Homo sapiens, although the degree of success of these acts remains unknown. You know, maybe 1% of the sex acts were working, maybe 100% of the sex acts were working. But you're certainly going to have a theory where 200,000 years is not enough to lead to a complete impossibility of reproduction. Therefore, you should aim for about 300,000 years minimum, up to 1 million years. That would be the amount of time. In this window, it must happen that reproductive incompatibility would appear. Or you can have a very... you can have a less conservative estimate and say, you know what, I think that not only did Homo sapiens interbreed with Neanderthal, I believe that Homo sapiens would be able to reproduce with Homo erectus. The chances of this are very low in my view, but I can't exclude this. So you could say millions of years in the past. All right, let's continue on the review of Vox Day's blog. So this paragraph, completely false representation. And I saw just the sycophantic nature of these Vox Day fans. It's disgusting. Throughout the day on Gab, I had people say, "JF, you're confused about generations and time. It's not the same thing." Motherfucker, you've just read Vox Day and you didn't listen to what I said yesterday. It's like, I can catch you. I can catch you being an idiot. I can catch you just trusting what Vox Day says about me and not going to my original point. Never, never yesterday in my entire show, never on my Gab, have I said it's a matter of generations versus time. Never. It's not the point of contention. In fact, look at the original script. That was the original script I published when Vox Day debated me. I made this available to the public. So I worked with specimens of certain genes that are present in chimpanzees and present in humans. And I said, okay, let's retrace the common ancestor, and how much of a mutation rate would you need to have a common ancestor 7 million years ago? And I did all of the math, all of the calculation. And you know what? This thing revealed to me that actually the whole history of the human-chimp separation could have happened much faster. At the level of the mutation rate, 1 million years would have been more than enough. So it happened in 7 million years. That's because the system is not going as fast as it can. It's just randomly mutating. And sometimes there's no reason why it would go the fastest that it can toward the separation. But I've shown that it was absolutely possible. And I've shown it in a script that actually considers both the generations required and the years required. So don't you come here and tell me, JF, you don't understand, JF. You're confused between generations and time. I have both variables in my fucking script from 1.5 years ago. It's still on freaking alt-censored. I mean, unbelievable. Look at this. Octave program written by JF. There's a link to it. Boom. You can download my math. And these guys are... These guys are coming to Gab and said, Jeff, you haven't done the math. I haven't done the math. The math is on the freaking internet. Still. He continues. However, this is not true. What JF and his followers forgot to take into account is that it is not generations that are relevant here, but time. And although bacterial cloning may or may not be slower to fixate a gene across a population than sexual reproduction in generational terms, bacteria also have considerably more generations over a given period of time than humans do. That doesn't matter because I've taken that into account. In my script, when I use the mutation rates right here, I take into account that they are measured in human generations and I then translate in human time. So if you think I'm confused and if you think that I have a freaking PhD in biology and that I'm going to be mistaken on time and generations and oh my God, I didn't think about the fact that bacteria are reproducing every 20 minutes when humans are reproducing every 23 years. I know these things. It's all been taken into account. And the conclusion is the distinction between chimpanzee and humans can be attained at the current mutational rate of humans within less than a million years. So completely false paragraph here. To use the two specific examples I cited, the bacteria was observed to have 14,000 generations per year. Primates have 0.05 generations per year, and fixation through sexual reproduction is not and has never been observed to be more than 280,000 times faster in temporal terms than fixation through bacterial cloning. See, that's where he does his goalpost move. You've never said that it was about observing. But because, of course, we're not going to observe the last 7 million years of human separation from the chimpanzee. You said it was impossible. So don't goalpost move here and say, oh, we didn't observe it. Okay, so it's been 3 years. Published on February 6, 2019. It's been 3 years. I thought it was like 1 year, 2 years, maybe it's been 3 years that I published this script. So here there is a goalpost move. He's now saying, oh, well, we haven't observed the transition or we haven't observed sexual selection performing 300,000 times faster. That's never been the point of Vox Day. Vox Day initially stated and still states on Gab that it's impossible. Well, if you're making a case that it's impossible, I'm making a case that it's possible. If you then want to talk about observations, we can get into those weeds, but I won't as long as you deny the possibility of a mathematical truth, which I know is true. So yes, sexual selection can totally do work in terms of fixation rate 300,000 times faster. In fact, the general wisdom is that it should work about millions or billions of times faster because of the packaging of mutations into single chromosomes. Again, I will repeat it. If you have millions of mutations on a single chromosome and that single chromosome happens to be very, very good for people who bear it, that chromosome will dominate all of humanity. And as it dominates over humanity, it will carry with it not one mutation, but all of the mutations that it has. Firestarter says, what is Vox even arguing? Evolution is fake? Yes. He's saying evolution is fake because the mathematics don't work and humans wouldn't have had the time in 7 million years to become humans because the fixation rate in bacteria is that slow and if you apply it to humans, it doesn't work. Well, of course it doesn't work. The mutation, the fixation rate in bacteria is ridiculously low, and that's because bacteria cannot exchange their genes. It's also because bacteria have a smaller genome. That's another thing that he's failing to take into account. So, yes, sexual selection and the fact that humans have a much bigger genome and much more sexual reassortment can lead to a difference in the six orders of magnitude easily. He says, I used the bacterial model in order to demonstrate that the case for natural selection was impossible, even when applying the fastest possible fixation rates ever observed. Well, that is not true. It's not true that bacteria are expected to be the best example for our side. In fact, my claim is that sexual selection and sexual reassortment totally outcompetes any speed of reproduction argument that you may have on bacteria. So the least that you could do, instead of claiming that you've given us the best case, is to accept that I claim that it's not the best case, and that I claim that what you have to do is do the math on a sexual species, which he refuses to do still. So my arguments absolutely did cover the situation of a population with sexual reproduction where replacement values are above 2. No, that is false. You didn't. What you did is you assumed that bacteria would go as fast or faster than humans, and you didn't take into account the sex effect. And that's where you fail. Because there is absolutely no case where a sexually reproducing mammal will fixate a gene across its population in less time than a bacterial population. And there you go. The absolutely false statement. There it is. You don't know this because you haven't done the math that I've done. And there is absolutely a case. And in fact, there are an infinite amount of cases that can be thought of where the humans will fixate faster than the bacteria. Just imagine a population, just for the example here, imagine a population of 100 humans, and suppose that they are all that's left on the earth. Imagine that one of these humans carries a chromosome which has a million different mutations compared to the other. The 99 others have a million different letters of DNA on that chromosome. Suppose that this guy happens to be particularly talented because of the characteristics of his chromosome, and suppose that 1,000 years down the line, all of the people alive, let's say that humanity has grown, but all the people alive ultimately descend from that one man. And they all bear a copy of that chromosome that he had because it was so advantageous evolutionarily. So then you have a million letters of DNA have just fixated in a single period of 1,000 years. That's an average mutation rate of, an average fixation rate of 1,000 per year. 1,000 mutations have just fixated in humanity in that fictive scenario. Now, the problem is, a fictive scenario is enough to undermine this statement. He says there is absolutely no case where a sexually reproducing mammal will fixate a gene across its population in less time than a bacterial population. Wrong. I've just proven you wrong. I've proven you that you can fixate quicker in a human population that is restricted. Imagine a bacteria fixating. I mean, an entire species of bacteria could be spread across the world. It could be very hard for a given strand of this species to outcompete all the others across the entire world. There were times in humanity where the competition didn't need to be worldwide, and there were restricted amounts of humans. So the scenario I've given is pushed, certainly, but it's not totally unrealistic. So your statement is false, Vox, and you should go back to the math. Go back to the math I've myself done 3 years ago. It's all there. The mutations work. They are enough to explain the difference between the common ancestor of chimps and men. And your model fails to include the fact that mutations are carried in a chromosome. I will end by giving a metaphor so that for those people, because there's so many stupid people on Gab that are followers of Vox Day, I'm going to try taking you by the hand here. And you'll see how this doesn't make sense. what Vox says. Suppose I was looking at the candle, and I look at it for 2 days. I see that the candle burns 1 centimeter per hour. And I'm like, okay, so that means that in 24 hours, the candle would have burned by 24 centimeters. Now imagine that someone comes and says, JF, my house just caught fire. And within 1 hour, everything was burned. The whole house was burned down. And suppose that I'm like, no, that can't happen. Your house cannot have burned in an hour. Because of the burning rate. I have a model here of your house in this candle, and this candle burns at 1 centimeter per hour. And so your house being bigger than 1 centimeter, I expect that it should take more than an hour. In fact, it should take approximately 5 years for your entire house to burn. You see what I've done here? This is exactly what Vox Day is doing with fixation rates. He's looking at the bacteria, which is the equivalent of a candle. And he's like, oh, wow, that evolves very slow. And he's right. Bacteria evolve very slow. But if you extrapolate from the candle to the house, the error that you make is actually in the house, every centimeter square of the house can be seen and thought of as a little candle. And eventually a whole wall can be thought of as millions of candles. And ultimately, each part of these walls are burning at the same time. And the fire at some time is burning a wall from that side and burning from that side. As a consequence, your measurements of the speed of fire in a candle is absolutely irrelevant to what happens when the house catches fire. The same is true of the fixation rate in humans. It's absolutely irrelevant that a small genome bacteria that doesn't reproduce sexually goes at a certain fixation rate in terms of how long it is for that bacteria to outcompete the rest of its own species. When you look at humans, you have the problem that the human genome is much bigger, so there are much more sites to be accumulating mutations. These mutations can not only accumulate, but they can They can combine with other chromosomes such that mutations accumulated on the female side can combine with mutations accumulated on the male side. And ultimately, the populations of bacteria in the whole world are much bigger in terms of number of individuals than the humans. So the humans can have bottleneck genetic effect that would be absolutely impossible in bacteria. So that is it. That's why you're wrong, Vox. And this morning he was saying to his crowd, I can't see the post anymore because he blocked me on Gab and the post disappeared. But he was saying to his crowd, JF is totally destroyed, and if you want to see how destroyed he is, just ask him if it's true that there's 2.22 fixed mutations per year on average in the human population. Like, this number will bother him. He won't give you a number. And I was like, this has never been my argument. My argument has never been around finding the specific fixation rate in humanity. And I don't mind the number that he gave. So my answer to him was, this is a complex question, you know, finding the specific number. I said, there will not be a single number. The fixation rate will be dependent on what is defined as fixation. For instance, is a gene similar across 99.99% of humans fixated or not? It will also depend on what we do with genes that could have been fixated to be different from the common ancestor, but then reverted back to their common ancestor form. In our evolutionary history, does that count for zero or two fixation events? See, you could have a situation 3 million years ago. Everyone in humanity gets an A on this letter of DNA. And then a couple of generations later, everyone reverts to a C because A wasn't good. Maybe it was good then, but it's not good anymore. And then it goes back to the C that the chimpanzee had there. That's like two events of fixation. But in the end, you're back to your starting point for this letter of DNA. Does that count as zero fixation event or two? The number will also vary depending on how we count similar fixation events that have happened parallelly in the two species. For example, you could have the common ancestor had C in his DNA there. Humans evolve, and eventually one human gets an A instead of a C. That human is successful, dominates the population, you have a fixation in the human species. But on the other side, chimpanzees evolve, and they also find the mutation of having an A instead of a C there. And they also fixate in their species. So you wouldn't be different from the chimpanzee on that measure, but you'd be different from the common ancestor. How do I calculate the fixation rate here? Do I calculate our difference with the chimpanzee of today? Or do I calculate with our difference of the chimpanzee of 7 million years ago? This will influence your number. And I said, I'm not raising these concerns to avoid answering the question. I'm just pointing to the fact that this number is not unique according to how we approach the problem. With all that being said, none of my argument relies on this number being a particular value. So sure, let us accept an average of 2.22 fixed mutations per year on average for the purpose of discussion. Now what? The problem of Vogsday's thesis is not that we disagree on this number. It is that Vogsday's calculations fail to take into account the higher rate of fixation in sexual species such as humans compared to non-sexual ones such as bacteria. Meiosis is a bitch. And there were people confused. Like this guy was saying, I'm confused. If you accept the 2.2 fixed mutations per year, then does that make sense? Is it really possible for that to occur in humans? But if the enhanced fixation rate in sexual species produces a different number than 2.2, what is that number? It's like these Vogsday fans are absolutely confused. I'm telling you that I don't care if it's 2.2. What I'm telling you is that 2.2 is achievable easily in a sexual species. All that you need is large chromosomes carrying lots of mutations. As it turns out, humans have large chromosomes carrying large amounts of mutations. So, it's just like the candle example. If you think of a wall as a single candle, you're gonna be surprised by the speed at which the wall burns compared to the candle. But if you realize that every centimeter of the wall is its own candle producing its own heat, it's going to burn much faster than the little candle. So I don't know how else to present this. So Vogsday has blocked me. That might be the end of our interaction. Therefore, profile unavailable. Vogsday has blocked me. And so I decided to go back to his original statement. Because this all started from yesterday's show, where I was criticizing this blog post. Where there is a subject that I didn't mention yesterday. This blog post was first and foremost an attack on Charles Darwin. Not only is the Darwinian and the neo-Darwinian theory of evolution by natural selection completely impossible due to the number of genetic transformations required in limited amounts of time, but it is becoming increasingly obvious that Charles Darwin was nothing more than a fraud, a plagiarist, and the frontman for a previously published theory that was popularized in order to cast doubt on Christianity and the Christian worldview. And he cites this new article by the Daily Mail. Charles Darwin is accused of stealing the theory of evolution from rival naturalists in history's biggest science fraud. Their claim is that 28 years before Charles Darwin, Patrick Matthew had published a book called On Naval Timber and Arboriculture, which would have contained an expression of the theory of natural selection. I've consulted the work myself to see the veracity of that claim, and my conclusion is that Patrick Matthew in 1831 did present the theory of natural selection. However, it is still false that to say that Charles Darwin is a plagiarist or history's biggest science fraud. And here's why. I've debunked that question on arguably.io. If you want to have access to the encyclopedia, I'm putting the link in the chat. The reason why it wasn't a fraud is that Charles Darwin has totally acknowledged that Patrick Matthew had those ideas in 1831, that is 28 years before he published Origins of Species. Here's the statement by Charles Darwin. That's page 7 of the Origins of Species. In 1831, Mr. Patrick Matthew published his work on naval timber and arboriculture, in which he gives precisely the same view on the origin of species as that presently to be alluded to, propounded by Mr. Wallace and myself in the Linnean Journal, and as that enlarged in the present volume. Unfortunately, the view was given by Mr. Matthew very briefly in scattered passages in an appendix to a work on a different subject, so that it remained unnoticed until Mr. Matthew himself drew attention to it in the Gardener's Chronicle on April 7, 1860. The differences of Mr. Matthew's views from mine are not of much importance. He seems to consider that the world was nearly depopulated at successive periods and then restocked, and he gives as an alternative that new forms may be generated without the presence of any mold or germ or former aggregates. I am not sure that I understand some passages, but it seems that he attributes much influence to the direct action of the conditions of life. In other words, he was kind of a Lamarckist. But he clearly saw, however, the full force of the principle of natural selection. So it's not true to say that Charles Darwin is a fraud or a plagiarist, because he acknowledged that someone before him had seen the principle of natural selection. That's it. So I've recorded for history on arguably.io the false argument made by Vauxday about the fraud that Charles Darwin would be. Go Away says, also, I prefer 7 p.m. Eastern time, but I'd rather 9 p.m. every day rather than 7 p.m. some days and 9 p.m. others. I'll find a way to watch live regardless of the time, but consistency will help me fit the show into my routine. That's why I'm making the survey. Although up to now, people with your preferences, Go Away, are losing the survey. Carnival says, dear Vox Day, I present you with the exhibits Wolf, Fox, Coyote, Chihuahua, the Golden Retriever, and the Bulldog. Ah, the diversity of the dog species, a recurring argument in evolutionary debates. All right, breaking, Bob Saget's tragic cause of death revealed. Bob Saget was found deceased inside a hotel room in Orlando, Florida in January. And now cause of death has been revealed. Saget's family says the late actor and comedian died as a result of head trauma. The authorities have determined that Bob passed from head trauma. They have concluded that he accidentally hit the back of his head on something, thought nothing of it, and went to sleep. No drugs or alcohol were involved. It's a tough call here, because we saw this female comedian who was bragging about having had 3 injections of the vaccine, and then she fell. Now, she went to the hospital because of head trauma. So the ultimate question is, what caused the fall? if there was a fall. And so I don't feel totally satisfied with this with this explanation. Joe Rogan discusses political lead job against him. Joe Rogan further addressed the campaign to have him booted off Spotify and silenced Tuesday, labeling it a political hit job and stating that he doesn't believe he should apologize for nonsense. Well, Joe, you don't believe you should apologize, but you've apologized, so you don't believe you should do what you did. Go Away says, it seems the rate of species extinction is much greater than the rate of emergence of new species. Presumably this hasn't always been the case. Is the rate of extinction due to human activity? I'm not a specialist of this. I mean, ultimately, there has to be a higher rate of appearance than a rate of extinction, or else you're going full extinction. Like, there cannot be more species dying than are created in the first place. So I would take issue with your phrasing of it. But we may be in a time where there is a reduction of biodiversity. A lot of ecologists have been claiming this. I don't know about it, to be honest. It's so easy to see, to say, to start counting, oh, we lost this species. Oh, there's only 30 pandas left. But do you really know how many species out there are created? Do we really track enough the biodiversity across this planet so that we would know if a new species has emerged? I highly doubt it, so I would be questioning this. Melania Trump has decided to make Parler her home on the internet. Melania Trump to make Parler her social media home. And Andrew Tarban notes, so it will not be Truth Social? Is Melania Trump trying to leverage again to get Trump to give her more money? Because she had done this when Trump became president. She stayed in New York until Trump renegotiated her contract as her wife. Apparently she has a contract as his wife, and she had negotiated more money for her, or else she would stay in New York and continue to raise the child while Trump was stuck in Washington, D.C. I mean, this is unbelievable. Now she's like, I'm going to go to Parler. This is going to be my social media home. While your husband is creating his own social media, I mean, this girl is going hard. But in the end, you know, you have to give it to her. She is more beautiful for her age, you know, and for in terms of what Trump could have. And in terms of, she doesn't have much power, but her beauty and her leverage. And so she uses her leverage in the cleverest way she can. I guess you have to credit her for this. Fauci talks fourth dose, eventually ending restrictions in the U.S. White House COVID-19 advisor Anthony Fauci says that Americans may be looking at a fourth jab in order to be fully vaccinated, depending on things such as age as well as underlying condition. I was out of this train wreck at the first dose. So fourth dose, I don't know how many percentage of the population do you think you can get. I don't think you can get much. Stephen Robinson says, JF, my father passed away 3 days ago. He fell in the shower and hit his head. He was unvaxxed and was taken to the hospital where doctors were unable to bring him back to life. I have my questions about the hospital staff treating him with respect because of his vax status. Well, you can have your questions, but I'm sorry for your loss. And I would say these questions don't matter. Ultimately, your father was probably feeble to the point where any event of any sort of impact would lead to his death. So it was his time to go. and I wouldn't like rehash this whole thing in my head thinking, did they respect him? Did they discriminate against him? Ultimately, your father's body was decomposing as he was living, and he had decomposed to the point of not being able to support life anymore. And so I would recommend concentrate on the realizations. I know that you are an extremely healthy person and that you live a healthy lifestyle. So clearly your father has accomplished something good in giving birth to a proud man of your kind, someone who assumes his thoughts and lives in the way he wants. So I think that's what you should be proud of, the realizations of your father in life, and the particular circumstances of his death don't matter. What matters is what we accomplish as we live, not what happens at the very moment of death. Biden White House in panic mode over truckers. Psaki claims Freedom Convoy is more disruptive than the authoritarian mandates they're protesting. That's kind of the idea. The idea is that the protests should be just at least equally annoying, or if not reaching the quasi point of being as annoying as your invasion of individual rights through mandates. And hopefully then we will get some leverage, and hopefully then we can convince you to stop violating our rights. USAID stonewalls over $4.7 million 2021 EcoHealth grant. So apparently this is passed. It happened in late 2021, so it already happened. But it's like the U.S. Agency for International Development gave a grant to EcoHealth Alliance to release enhanced airborne coronavirus into the wild. You gotta be kidding me. It's like this kind of, and they were talking about enhanced coronavirus in the sense that they would be modified in the laboratory to be more infectious to humans. So basically, they want to redo exactly what led to the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic. It's like, calm down. You already got your pandemic. You want to create another one? BBC admits they use HIV to make the COVID vaccine. That is something I didn't know. Maybe I covered this and I just don't remember, but I don't remember knowing this. That they say that the anchor part of the spike protein for the coronavirus vaccine is inspired from HIV.
It holds it together. And it allows it to stay 100% in that structure that's present on the surface of the virus.
The shape of the coronavirus spike protein before the virus meets our cells is what triggers the most protective antibody response.
See, Mama JF, this is the antigen right here, the spike protein. And you see an antibody coming here. The antibody is coming to attach to the antigen.
So Keith must make the spike protein in the lab, locking it into exactly the same shape by adding another protein that acts a bit like a clamp. And that protein is a tiny fragment of HIV.
Are you kidding me? So the people who are getting injected with the vaccine are getting injected with a tiny fragment of HIV? Don't we want to give a little more mediatic coverage to this? I mean, even I, as a scientist who's been following this for every day, I've been reading all news items about it. I don't think I knew that. I don't think I've read that before. I mean, we understand they're going to say, oh, don't seed too much fear, JF. Don't fear monger. It's just a part of HIV. It's not the functional part of HIV. But still, I mean, it's a part of something that's a very dirty virus. It's not something I would play with. Just injecting that into people, even if it had partial effects. I mean, it's unbelievable that we've done this. We've done this on billions of people without checking, without knowing, and we've enforced this through social pressure, political corruption, and political extortion. Go Away says, JF, I think you covered this when there were false positive HIV tests during COVID vaccine trials in Australia back in 2020. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I remember now. But I didn't know that it was the anchor. That's where I'm surprised. But you're right. I now remember there were people popping up on... They were turning out positive on HIV, and the government was like, don't worry. It's just a positive test of HIV. It's not that you have actually HIV. It's just because there's a piece of HIV in the vaccine. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Go Away, for reminding me this. But see, it hadn't crossed my mind that it was the anchor part. I don't know. I'm worried. Stephen Robinson says, he is Lord Gordon Demon, Slayer of the Viking. It is amazing how in death a new level of respect and admiration comes as old bullshit that has been held onto disappears. I love my father and know that he is with the gods in Valhalla. Wonderful, Stephen. That is the attitude to get. I'm also extremely proud of what my father accomplished in his life. You know, I was looking at the amount of investment he had done in our lives, in having a rich life as kids, like running the local baseball league, running local activities so that we would have sports, we would have social interaction, we would have family, we would have extended family relationship. I won't be able to deploy as much. I will have extremely good parental behaviors and good parental care for my children, but I probably will not run the local baseball league. So it's kind of impressive just how much he has done in our lives. Bank of Canada warns very distressing bridge blockade could impact economy. So you're saying that it's working. Debate over MMT takes a dumb but not surprising turn. The profile proclaimed that Kelton was now taking a victory lap. Okay, they are saying that people who oppose inflation are misogynist. That is the big take right now. If you are complaining against money printing, you are part of far-right circles of misogyny. And finally, as a last news item, Dave Chappelle's latest achievement, helping kill an affordable housing development. I mean, bravo, 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 good sir. Dave Chappelle has been totally fucking up the left's plan here. He lives in this town called Yellow Springs, Ohio, and he's kind of developed this town, and he's invested in local businesses, and he's created his own businesses. He wants to create a restaurant there. He has some projects, millions of dollars invested, and he lives there also. And just very close to where he lives, they had decided to establish like a affordable housing project, which is basically the state giving away money so that poor people can live in those places and they eventually ruin your entire neighborhood. Dave Chappelle said, if you guys pass this, I will leave this town and I will take all my investments with me. There will be no restaurant, there will be no Dave Chappelle house, there will be nothing. Because he didn't like the way the housing project was made and the way it would totally change the local town, including just how the sidewalks would be developed around it. And he won because people voted and they ended up deciding, okay, we won't have affordable housing. It will be 143 single-family homes with a starting price of about $300,000. I'm not super happy that you have to pay $300,000 in America to get a decent place to live. But I certainly think that the solution to this sad state of affairs is not affordable housing covered by the taxpaying men. So good shot on Dave Chappelle. And, you know, it's something that if a white man was to do this, he would probably get in trouble. They would accuse of gentrification. But Dave Chappelle, just as this Teflon, skin to his involvement here. So I'm quite impressed by this. Also, Bitcoin is going well and Vladimir Putin legalizes owning and buying and selling Bitcoin in Russia. I don't think that Russia is that big of a deal, but it's always good news. One more country legalizing and allowing their citizens to have this. It's good for the price. So let's see what will happen with the show. There are more people who are voting for a half and half week where there would be 7 p.m. Eastern time shows. And there would be 9 p.m. Eastern time shows because I don't have the option of doing 7 days a week at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So what that means is we'll have tomorrow it will be 9 p.m. Eastern time. I'll set up my stuff. I'll look at what my schedule looks like and I may pick a given number of days where it will always be 7 p.m. Eastern time. I can already tell you that probably Monday and Tuesdays will be 7 p.m. Eastern time and perhaps the weekend too. So it will look like at some point in the week it's going to start at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And then eventually we're going to switch at 7 p.m. Eastern time and then we're going to go back to 9 p.m. Eastern time. In any case, I will keep you guys updated, but it's good to have a diversity of audience potentials. I will tell you the currently watching count is greater than yesterday. So somehow 9 p.m. Eastern time seems to work for a lot of people. So I don't know what I'll do. Go away says, lol, JF, the average house price in Australia is $1 million. Well, $1 million Australian dollar. We'll be right back.